Good evening. This is Diana Pulliam with the Mighty Hand of God and Lauren Peterson, presenter of the Angel Wars series on this first day of July, 2024. Wow. Halfway through the year almost here. We will be covering episode number 20 this evening. And before we get started, Lauren, would you go ahead and open in prayer, and then I will take it and do a summation of the previous episode.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come together in this format that can reach people all over the world. And that's what you said, that in the last days that your word will go forth throughout all the world. And we thank you for this, and we ask for your presence tonight. We invite you to be with us tonight and to lead the discussion and to bestow upon all of us your clarity. These are, can become complicated topics and sometimes are not clearly spelled out in scripture nor even in the scientific community. So there can be a lot of back and forth and everything, but we just ask that for your clarity and your peace that surpasses all understanding, that even if we're confused about something, we'll have your peace. Even in that confusion, we'll have your peace and be at peace and not be throwing tomatoes at one another or eggs or insults or whatever. That we're united in you, in your love for one another, even for those who are not yet on our side of things, who are basically enemies of the cross. But we ask for your presence tonight, and we lift this up to you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lauren, for that prayer. I had to chuckle a little bit about the throwing the tomatoes, rotten tomatoes and stuff. We've all had a few of those, haven't we?
Yeah, I love tomatoes.
I do too. All right.
Throw them all you want. I use them for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, the last episode, number 19, was in three parts, A, B, and C. And I'm going to go through and review. I really want to focus on the last episode, part C, not episode, but the part. So I will quickly go through that. And I have a reason for really focusing on that, and it's so important. Lauren last time began by talking about how the Israelites would cast out, they would label as traitors, and even killed many of the true prophets of God. And he began that episode with Amos 5. Well, Amos, he went through that book, but in particular, in Amos chapter 5, talks about the northern 10 tribes of Israel, how they told Amos to leave and just leave, go down to Judah and speak against them. You know, they totally rejected what the prophet was saying to them about their sins, about the need for repentance and the coming judgment of God. Okay. And Amos says, "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph." That's a talk in itself, but who's the house of Joseph, right? Won't go into it right now, except in Genesis 48, before the death of Jacob, whose name God changed to Israel. Israel laid his hands on Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and said, "Let my name be named upon them, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac." In verse 16, that's where it talks about that. Now look again to what the prophet Amos said. He says, "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph." Now the house of Joseph would be Ephraim and Manasseh in general, who were given the name of Israel. Who are they? You know, were they? Where are they today? I'm not going to go into that, but that's an awesome study in itself. But yeah, we know though that all the 12 tribes, they were pretty much scattered amongst the nation. But he says some things about Joseph in particular on some things. But going back to Amos, Okay, verse 10 says, they hate the one who rebukes in the gate. Wow. They hate the one who rebukes. Is that not a message for our day as well? If you rebuke God's people, they'll turn on you. A lot of them will. I've seen this happen. And I'm talking about the churches in general. If you begin to rebuke them, I was in a church where half the congregation walked out when the pastor started talking about a particular sin. They got up and left. But if you don't give them soft words, sugar-coated messages, you're accused of being harsh, judgmental, legalistic, or worse, right? They'll say things like, that's not how God talks to his people. Oh, that's not of the Holy Spirit. They haven't read the Gospels, have they? How Jesus talked to the seed of the serpent. They'll say, that's not speaking in love. That's not showing love, really. If judgment begins in the house of God, we all better be about taking correction, being edified and corrected, you know, iron sharpening iron. Take rebuke from him. Repent. We need to be seeking him now in an attitude of submission and repentance, or else we'll be cast out. Because it starts at the house of God and works outward. And in the book of Amos and Obadiah, in many of the prophetic books, it begins with his house and works outward to the nations. So I just wanted to bring that out because I have seen that so much myself. We don't want to be cast out. Let's take it now. Lord God Almighty, perfect that which concerns me now. There's scriptures that talk about God does not punish the righteous with the wicked. He sets them apart at some point. Okay. Amos also talks a lot about the Edomites. We know they came from Esau, and the book of Obadiah also talks about the Edomites. And it matches what's in Amos about how they ascend, Esau ascend into the highest stars, yet God will bring them down. For violence against his brother Jacob, shame shall cover Edom. And there's a verse that says in there, when they cast lots for Jerusalem, you stood as one of them. The Edomites passed themselves off as Israelites. And there was a time where they were casting lots to see who had to go back to Jerusalem because they didn't want to go back. A lot of them didn't want to come out of Babylon and go back. So they cast lots, and it was like 1 out of 10 went back. Interesting, huh? They passed themselves off. When they cast lots for Jerusalem, you stood as one of them. He's talking about Edom, the Edomites. They're part of the crowd who say they are Jews but are not. And there's other lineages who've been assimilated into the crowd who say they're Jews but are not. And maybe sometime we might cover that more in depth. All right, back to the coming judgments in our day. The Deagle Report, you mentioned that, Lauren, and that is projecting a 90% reduction in population in the United States by the year 2025. We're talking a year out. That the United States is going to be reduced and only 10% is going to be left. And I find it interesting that in Amos, it covers the time period in his day. And then progresses to the judgments rendered to all the nations in the end of day. So it's speaking about this end time that there would be a 90% reduction in the house of Israel, city by city. So that matches the Deagle Report. And as we know, the Israelites are scattered among the nations. It's time to get right with God, guys. And Lauren and I are in one accord in this. It's time to turn our eyes towards Jesus. you mentioned the Cold War from days past. That's over. It's now a hot war, as you called it. And they want this to happen, the nukes to fly. This rapid reduction in population, they, you know, the little g gods, want it to happen soon. You talked about Putin appearing as like a Cool Hand Luke type character who maybe if there was a way to eliminate the leaders of this United States of America, the leaders of this nation, he might prefer to do that, to get new leaders in instead of having to nuke the nation. But that's not going to happen. I agree. That's not going to happen, friends, because as Lauren brought out, the serpent seed has a lockdown on this nation because the church has gotten in bed with the serpent seed. I'm going to say that again. Look at the churches, the pastors, the teachers. The church has gotten in bed with the serpent seed. But those who are involved, the individuals and the nations in this population reduction in the U.S. and other nations, it's going to turn around and they're going to also be punished severely. God uses nations in judgments that to come against his people and in judging his people. He uses the other nations. Maybe this nation, their sin's not full yet, but I'm telling you, once they start getting proud and arrogant, always then turns to punish those nations. They're not going to escape his judgments either. Lauren spoke about the wars going on between nations. I mean, we're seeing this broadcast all over the news now. Wars and rumors of wars, the wars and the strife between the races, between families. Between the 12 tribes of Israel, they fought amongst each other, and they're doing that in this day as well. Wars and strife between various religions. And let's bring it forward to our own strife and fighting between so-called Christians. You know, the fighting among Christians is evidence of not being disciples of Jesus. Because Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. Here we are. We're supposed to be a light to the world. Instead, you can't tell many Christians as a whole, I'm talking about, apart from those of the world. So here we are, as in the days of Noah, just as Jesus said it would be, right? In Genesis 6, verse 11, it says, now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. Think of what we're seeing spreading all over the earth right now, violence. It's now widespread here in the United States also. We're seeing it just like crazy in the streets of some of the main cities and spreading out. But God will not let this continue. He's not going to let it continue. As he always has put a stop to it. Once it gets so far, so will he do again. He stopped it all and started over in Noah's day. He did a major reset again at the Tower of Babel event. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah got so bad, God did a regional destruction. And here we are at the end of the end, the expiration date of this quarantine containment zone of the fallen one-third. It's upon us. So what's the solution? You asked this question, Lauren, last time. You said, what's the solution? Right now, right here for us and all that are listening, the only solution to all this fighting in the world and amongst the household of God is Jesus Christ. The solution is in our repentance, to cry out for his blood, to wash everything away, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to save us. And that the peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding will fill our hearts, will keep our hearts and minds in this hour. Jesus is the solution of all that we see going on. Everything points to God's rescue plan, his rescue mission. So I'm going to segue. Let's go ahead and segue now to Revelation chapter 6. where it talks about a great earthquake, where it'll look like the stars of heaven are falling, every mountain moving out of its place. As you mentioned, it seems to be talking about another crustal misplacement, you know, as what happened in the Tower of Babel event, where God moved everything around, you know, the peeling of the orange, as the one man described it, and then reapplying it. And also Revelation 16 speaks of those seven last plagues or vials poured out. And the seventh is a great earthquake such as, listen to this, as has never been seen since men were on the earth. Wow. The cities of the nations fall. Every island fled away, and the mountains, they're not going to be found. This coming cataclysmic event will be that third and final great reset to restructure the earth one last time here, preparing for that return, getting the return of Jesus Christ in his millennial reign. A new era, a new time. You turned the discussion towards the begotten ones. That if we are begotten ones, we have his seed within us. Even if we're not born again yet, even if they're not walking with him, if you're one of the begotten ones, the seed of the 12 stone covenant is within us. Say, I haven't been begotten yet or born again yet. That seed is still would be within me. And eventually germinates and peeks its head out of the soil. I love the way you described that, Lauren. When the right conditions are met, the seed germinates. And he who created you to be, it begins to grow and take shape. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith and our destiny as it was originally founded through him. And at this point, we're not yet manifested. Those that have been born again, we're not yet manifested. Although there's evidences of who we are, our identity, we're not yet bearing fruit the way we're going to. As pointed out over and over, we're presently only operating with the two strands of DNA, with an approximate 8% activation of those two strands, and the rest laying dormant or whatever that looks like. Looking back at Adam and Eve, who began with 100% because they were given a mandate to take dominion and subdue the earth, right? God would not have created them less than 100% being able to do so. And I don't think, as Lauren talked about, that none of us can comprehend all they were able to accomplish at that level. Adam and Eve were told to take dominion over the earth, to subdue it. And this, Lauren, I think is where the Lord's bringing his sons and daughters to right now. I've been speaking a lot, and years ago, the Lord even said, you must take dominion and talk to me about that. And it begins with ourself, taking dominion over our own mind, will, our emotions. And we know that Jesus came to get back that dominion that Adam and Eve had given over to Lucifer, the devil. And after his resurrection, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, he said, all authority, some translations say authority, power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus came and he got it back. And remember when, after the 40-day fast, when the devil came and he gave him that proposition, if you will bow down and worship me, he showed him all the nations, right? All the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, if you will bow down and worship me, it will all be given to you because it's been given to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Jesus can now say, like he said in Matthew 28:18, he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And if he had that conversation again with Satan, he could now finish that sentence with, and I give it to whomever I wish. I can't imagine when Jesus came to earth that he wasn't equipped as that first Adam, like you said, with all 12 strands of DNA. Would he be sent in with less than that first Adam if he's the second Adam? Even if they weren't activated until as he matured as a child, because he was born as a child, right? Step by step by step. I believe it is the way it will be with his very bride, the remnant, those first fruits. She's going to be activated when she gets to that certain spiritual level. And you mentioned how just as we can't bestow certain gifts and such on our children because they can't handle it. They're not able to. They don't know how to handle their emotions. They've not taken dominion over their mind, those thoughts being taken captive. No. Until they begin to grow and mature, only then are they able to handle and be trusted with certain things. And you had asked that question, can God trust you with that kind of power, authority? So it is with his remnant. We must first take dominion over our mind, will, and emotions, right? God's not going to give this to those who refuse to take that dominion over ourself first. Ourself. To die to self. To allow the cross to finish its work in us. And going in and total submission as Jesus submitted his will to the Father. So does she have to do that, to submit their will, our will as well. We're called a kingdom of priests, and only the priests were allowed anywhere near the Holy of Holies to go in after that consecration of themselves and cleansing and purification process. I like the way you said that it doesn't mean if you're not called to be a part of the remnant first fruit group, doesn't mean you can't be saved. Just because you're not able to enter the inner sanctum of God, the Holy of Holies, because there's an outer part to the temple as well. It's just that those who truly open up themselves to him can enter the inner chamber, that Holy of Holies. Commune with him, become one with him, the bride, with her groom. I believe when the former and latter rains come, think about that. And think of Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2, that she's going to begin operating. Will it be activated? You know, we don't know. We don't have those answers, but I just feel she will begin operating in that full 12-stranded capacity, as did Adam and Eve, to fulfill her mandate to take dominion, because Jesus, the second Adam, fulfilled that mandate given to the first Adam. He did it. He succeeded. And the second Eve, the bride of Jesus, will also fulfill. She will also be successful in fulfilling that original mandate given by God to her through Jesus Christ, right? It's all through Jesus Christ, not by our power, might, but only by the Spirit of God. Lauren, you closed out the episode. This is finally what I want to talk about just for a second here. But you closed out the episode talking about how today's scientists and engineers aren't capable. They're just not capable of building anything that would compare with many of the ancient monolithic structures. Or they haven't demonstrated it yet. They might be doing it underneath, right? But they wouldn't compare with those ancient monolithic structures like the pyramids and the temples scattered around the world. And we know that a lot of them are located underwater, even on the continental shelves that were on dry land during the last ice age when the sea levels were lower. But not only can researchers not comprehend how these materials, the stones and stuff, were transported and put together in the mathematical precision that they were. But scientists, they've discovered these monuments are more than just physical structures. They're technological instruments that not only line up with the stars, but they're actual receivers and transmitters of a power whose existence is denied by more conventional scientists of today. In ancient Babylon, talking about the time period of the Tower of Babel, which was the headquarters of the world's first one world government, headquarters of the one world religion, and the one world financial system. The name Babel, as you said, refers to the ancient city of Babylon. And it's translated from Akkadim, which means gate of God. So Babel, translated, means gate of the God. Gate of the God. And it's being set up. It was being set up as a stargate at that time. We know, according to scripture, the Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod, who some scholars believe was a Nephilim. So the Tower of Babel was a structure to worship the host of heaven and a technological stargate, which could open a portal to allow the passage of interdimensional beings. I want to close with this, something I heard about a week ago. I just want to bring this out. This, what I heard talked about, very much affirms what we've been saying since we started the Angel War series, that if you choose to remain ignorant about some of the truths, the things that are being discussed, things that are, if you want to dig and research, you'll find out the things that this guy was talking about that I heard. If you want to stay on milk and cookies with what's fed to you in mainstream churchianity, you may be putting yourself at risk of being deceived in the immediate future. Let me explain. I don't even remember the name of the individual, but he was being interviewed on a YouTube. I just decided to add this a minute ago, but he was being interviewed on YouTube. This guy, I can't remember the show, but he does a lot of interviews on supernatural and all kinds of interest stories. But something caught my eye about the title, because it alluded to some things we speak about on Angel Wars. But the individual, he was speaking about all the ancient monolithic structures, like what you were talking about, like the pyramids, the temples. He was talking about all the finds that he had come across in his research around the world, all the ancient civilizations. He said, we have proof of their existence. And he kind of like said that are hidden to those who are just happy to skip along the tulips, you know, skip along and accept what traditional Christianity feed their sheep. And he was talking about his worldwide adventures, and he specifically began talking about his trip to the Vatican, where you can see with your own eyes all their treasure trove, their ancient relics and such, collections from all over the globe. And here's what he said. He was talking about, he started giving examples, and there's a lot of things that we've covered here. He even mentioned the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. He even mentioned that. And so many. And here's what he said. Here's his conclusion. We've been lied to by the church all this time. Okay, that's what is going to be presented just ahead of us, as however they want to play it out, whether it be aliens, supposed aliens coming and saying, we're your creators, and they supply the evidence that we've had here amongst us all along in different areas, in different, like the Catholic Church, he said, it was staggering to him. Some of the rooms, and this is, he went down into the catacombs. He did lots, open tour there, that he was invited to go and look at. He said, we've been lied to. He said, there's been civilizations, tens and thousands, and maybe, who knows how long ago, millions of years, who knows? Because, you know, he was just saying it's not the way the church is presented. So that is why it's so important, I believe, to search the scriptures, you know, to be those good Bereans, to study, to show yourself approved, good workmen that need not be ashamed, right? And ready to give an answer to those who ask. You bet when all these things begin being thrown out there, people are going to look at those ministers. People are going to look at the Christians and say, so what do you have to say about this? And they're not going to know. And what about this all points to the days ahead, the church, the real church, the remnant, the bride of Christ that is going about doing the works of Jesus. And they began to speak forth mysteries out of their mouth, mysteries out to the angelic realm, those mysteries that they're still waiting to hear. I just want to end on, guys, please take a look at some of these things. Begin doing research. Do not be caught unaware. And then if the Lord sees that we are diligent, he's going to lead us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would remind us of the word, all those scriptures, and like there's so much embedded within this word, and that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth and show us things to come. So I'm standing on what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do, would reveal the mysteries and so much in the days ahead. So Lauren, I'm going to mute my mic.
Wow. I discussed all those things last time. Boy, it's even got my mind spinning right now. My goodness. You have an excellent way of summarizing. Wow. Yeah, folks, I believe that part of the great falling away, we're already witnessing certain phases of that. The tendency is to look at it as a singular event, a singular time frame, okay, rather than maybe it's composed of several areas where the faithful are falling away from the faith. Not just one area, but maybe several areas over an extended period of time. What I came to understand, what the Lord impressed upon me years ago, was Christians are very guilty of time compression. We read something in the Bible, maybe a verse or a paragraph, and we just automatically assume, well, that's, wow, that happened really quick, didn't it? Okay. So, for example, the Tower of Babel, only 9 verses, chapter 11 of Genesis, only 9 verses. So the assumption would be, well, if it was more important than that, God would have included more material in the Bible concerning the Tower of Babel. So it must not be of major importance because only 9 verses are directly mentioned, the Tower of Babel, right? So it can't be that important. And so we tend to walk away then, well, we fail to put the proper pieces of the puzzle together for a more proper timeline and understanding how long we've actually been on this planet. And so then we tend to believe in the 6,000 year theory because that's been told for so long. And that's what we believe. It's been drilled in our heads to where it gets into our hearts. You know, there's not that much difference, I guess, between the heart and the brain as far as tissue or something like that. So your heart and your brain are very much connected to each other, even bodily wise. Okay. So what you feel in your heart affects your thoughts in your brain, right? And your thoughts, what your brain, even your brain chemistry can impact your heart, literally your heart. So there's certain things, negative emotions that we can have harbor over a period of time that will directly impact our physical bodies. And that's like 101, right? Can even clog our arteries. That's right. Clog our arteries up to the point of having heart attacks. and then having to have artery bypass surgery, you know, and stents and all that business to counteract what's been going on for years, decades, maybe. So when we read like through the book of Proverbs, there's just a lot of good common sense, Christian or not Christian, there's just a lot of good common sense material in the book of Proverbs. And some of that material involves our, what we think about in our hearts and stuff, okay? To that, if we have positive, we'll most likely prolong our lives. If we're more on the negative side of life, we'll end up coming short on our lives. And if God's got a calling on our lives and we're always in the negative, then we're cutting short his purpose for us being here. And what kind of a testimony will that be? It's part of regaining our dominion that Diana was talking about earlier, regaining our dominion even over our emotions. As we've seen, is that one of the consequences of the COVID crisis, a lot of people took their lives. They got super depressed and they took their lives. And that was totally unnecessary. And I don't want anybody to do that. Certainly Jesus doesn't want anybody to do that. So these events that are taking shape and more yet to come, how solid are we? How solid is our footing in Jesus and him alone? If you're a pre-trib rapture person and it doesn't play out the way you firmly believe with your fullness of your heart, soul, and body, that you would stake your eternity on a pre-trib rapture, but it doesn't happen, are you going to be amongst those of the great falling away? Are you going to lose faith in Jesus? Where is your faith anchored? Is it anchored in a pre-trib rapture, or is it anchored in Jesus and him alone, no matter what happens? Or if there is a legitimate, a real deal rapture, but you're left behind, are you going to lose your faith, or are you going to come to the realization you're left behind because Jesus has a specific mission for you in this post-rapture world? And he's going to equip you for that battle, for that war that you're going to fight. Are you up for that? Or are you going to allow depression to set in and Satan steal your victory and you become another victim? Or are you going to rise up in Christ and the cross that you've had to bear for so many years, decades, will one day become your sword that you defeat the enemy with? Okay. That cross turned around becomes your sword, the sword of the cross of Christ, folks. Okay. It's exciting, but we are to obtain that dominion. That's one of the objectives. That Jesus, why he came into our fallen world unto us fallen people, is to restore our dominion that Adam and Eve lost. Okay, so tonight I want to review some scriptures we've covered before, like the Tower of Babel and stuff, but I'm going to zero in on the full document of the pole shifts and earth crust displacement. So these, reviewing these scriptures is to then refocus back on this article and relay how it can fit into these various scriptures. Okay, so I'm going to start out reading this article, and there's a whole lot of other things. So in the future, one of the golden calves of Christians, the traditional approach, understanding of things, is a 6,000-year doctrine, and that everything was created in 6 24-hour days. That's what I grew up with. I grew up in the traditional teaching, and that's what I firmly believed in my earlier years. But I believe that God has shown me otherwise. It's not 6 24-hour periods of time. It's 6 ages. And the clincher argument for that is transitioning from day 6 to day 7. On day 7, it does not begin in darkness and it doesn't end in darkness. It's 24 hours. If you believe in the 24-hour theory, then there's 24 hours of light for day 7. And then we go back to day 6, if you believe in 24 hours. And the second half of that day is light. So now we've got, 24 plus 6, well, 12, that'd be 36 hours straight of light. Do we see that anywhere today as a consistent across the board, all over the world, from Saturday into Sunday, 36 hours of light? When we look through the past history of the earth, do we find any evidence whatsoever of that pattern, that kind of pattern? I certainly don't, but if you do, please let us know. Okay, let everybody know. You found it somewhere, okay? 36 hours of light, and I'm not talking about the, like up north there in the Arctic Circle where it stays light for daylight for extended period of time. That's not it. 36 hours on a consistent basis, on a consistent weekly basis, Saturday into Sunday, 36 hours of light. We find that anywhere. As far as I know, the answer is no. So that in itself defeats the 24-hour theory flat on its face. Not talking about days there, talking about ages. And the seventh day age, we are at the tail end of that. Because it's an overarching age of grace. The specific age of grace is from Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, onward into our time. That both ages then dovetail coming together at the very end of the sixth seal in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. All the first six seals are still of at the tail end, of course, right? And they're the judgments that are being released upon the earth. We see judgments of man versus man, nature versus man, the Antichrist versus man, the aliens versus man, and all kinds of things going on, right? That decimate mankind. So it would appear to be, the first six seals would appear to be the wrath of God, especially when you zero in on that sixth seal. Sure looks like the wrath of God, you know, to people who are alive at that time, but it's not. It's the very, very end of his judgments, and they are very severe. But it precedes the seventh seal. Notice that the very tail end of the seventh day age transitions into the seventh seal, the wrath of the Lamb of God. The judgments and the subsequent periods that God is hoping for people to repent culminate at the end of the sixth seal. And then his wrath is unleashed in the seventh seal, and specifically later on during the bowl judgments of the wrath of God, okay, specifically. And we'll cover that in more detail in a future show. It's very interesting how God does not leave any stone left unturned, anything that he did eons ago left unaddressed in the latter days. It all comes back full circle. And keep in mind, folks, we're in a fallen beings on a fallen planet in a fallen solar system in a fallen galaxy in a fallen one-third of the original creation, all quarantined, placed under quarantine, so that this contaminant cannot escape out of this quarantine zone. I mentioned this before, but it may bear repeating, especially if somebody's new to this series. It's like today's modern computers. And even back in the 80s when the very first anti-virus programs came out, okay. But as time has gone on, the viruses, the malware attacks, et cetera, day zero things, you know, have gotten a lot more sophisticated, right? So obviously the anti-malware companies have to get more sophisticated also and then try to presuppose where the hackers, smackers, and jackers are going to go next, you know, and try to come up with something that will preempt what has not yet happened, but be able to contain it, okay? So if something infects your computer, then, well, a lot of stuff is done in the cloud nowadays, And that's where they try to capture it first before it gets down to your computer. But if it does happen to get on your computer, okay, then they've got a method to deal with that. And that is sandbox. It's called sandbox technology. So a number of the anti-malware companies use sandbox technology. That means that if your computer detects a malware, a virus, or a Trojan, or whatever it is, detects anything that's off, it will quarantine it. And it will quarantine that, separate what's going on from the rest of the computer. So it's not allowed to infect the rest of your computer. It's not allowed to trash your computer, not allowed to shut your computer off. It's quarantined. And what it does then is it allows that malware, that virus, whatever it is, to continue its operations, but under quarantine. Because the company wants to know, okay, this is maybe a 0 day that's happening here, and haven't got it figured out yet. So by quarantining it and allowing to progress to its logical conclusion, but under controlled conditions, then the company can determine what that thing is and what it's trying to do, thereby come up with a more direct solution to prevent that from even getting into the cloud itself down the road. Okay, so it's quite an ingenious method, but it's little do they know that that's exactly what God did to this fallen one third. He quarantined it. And he has allowed and is allowing this virus, this malware, to continue to its logical conclusion. But there's, just like with a malware on your computer, there's an expiration date. There comes a point where a computer will say, okay, I've figured out everything's been uploaded to the company, you know, and so God is allowing this contagion to continue to its logical conclusion. But there is an expiration date, how far he's going to allow it to go. So this fallen one third has an expiration date on it. This galaxy, this solar system, this planet, you and me, these earth suits we live in have an expiration date. I think that's logic 101. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, okay? So everybody dies. Even the Psalm 82 judgments, that you shall die like men. God is holding a trial, so to speak. He's holding a trial and he's calling into judgment these fallen angelics that haven't kept their proper estates, haven't been doing their jobs, and they've been in rebellion. So he's calling them into judgment. He's telling them, you're going to die like men. So in essence, you're going to have an expiration date attached to your lifespans here. And Jesus even reiterated, I think it's John chapter 10, was it, that he quoted that back. And I remember bringing that up in a former show, and I'll certainly be bringing it back up again, that they couldn't pull the wool over Jesus's eyes. He knew exactly who they were that had infiltrated into the Abrahamic lineage, infiltrated and passed themselves off as the holy ones of Israel, right? The religious authorities, thinking, well, if they can pull it off on the people, they can pull it off on Jesus himself, but they were wrong, right? He reminded them of Psalm 82 judgments. It's like Jesus saying to them, hey, I know who you are, and I'm quoting Psalm 82 to you because the judgments against you are still in effect, in spite of your religiosity, in spite of your being the movers and shakers of the Israel at the time. The religious movers and shakers, no matter how holy you appear on the outside, I know who you are on the inside, and you are not escaping God's judgments. You will die like men. And what did he say? My sheep hear my voice, but the reason you don't hear my voice is because you are not my sheep. How would you like to be one of them? Jesus is telling them straight to their face, you are not my sheep. and the Psalm 82 judgments still apply to you. You're not getting away from it. How would you like to be one of them? And they exist to this day. The serpent seed, passing themselves off, shapeshifters, reptilians, passing themselves off in the pulpits, the synagogues, the mosques, whatever holy shrines around the world, as the leaders of whatever religious movements, okay, they've infiltrated everywhere. And even I read in the past, and I'll be reading it again in the future, the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, that one book, that one chapter, where it mentions where they crept in unawares. And even the book of Jude in the Bible mentions that they crept in unawares. But their doom has been sealed from the very beginning, okay? So we have this phenomenon going even today, but we don't typically catch it. And today's lukewarm church certainly isn't going to catch it. It's part of the falling away. They bit into the apple and they're falling away from the pureness of the faith, the pureness of the teaching and understanding of God's word. And yet God himself is not leaving these issues unaddressed. He is revealing the mysteries in his word in these last days. As even foretold, like in the book of Daniel, for example, 12th chapter, to seal up these words for the last days, the latter days. And then the book, the understanding of this book will be unsealed and revealed. So there's a lot going on, folks. We're in that time, okay, at the very end. And we see it in the headlines, everything's spinning out of control. And Planet X is in our solar system. It's not just a planet. It's like a mini solar system in itself. It's a black sun surrounded by possibly seven planets. It's already in our solar system, possibly kind of sort of behind the sun a little bit, maybe off to the side. Under certain conditions, people have claimed that they've seen something out there, like during the solar eclipse we've had, just recently had here. Was it April 8th? And people taking photographs and everything and detecting, what's that? Okay. You see, the powers that be want us all to believe in evolution. They want us to believe that, we started pond scum and then the great apes and then Cro-Magnon man and then this and that and Neanderthal man. And then, look at how far we have evolved and look how great and wonderful we are today with all our technology that's never been in existence before. They want us to believe all that hokum. What a bunch of bunk. And they get really upset if you call them into question, kind of like the 6 million that perished during the Holocaust, not one more, not one less. It's exactly 6 million. And if you don't believe that, you're going to be in big, big trouble with them. Okay. Same thing in the scientific community. If you don't believe such and such and such, you're going to be in big trouble. Graham Hancock. Some of you probably know him. You read his material or watched his videos and stuff. I just was listening to a video this past week. Boy, they have just crucified that poor guy. And yet, he was at the point where he just about gave up on deep diving into this stuff anymore. He was ready to let it all go and forget about it. And yet, because he was so persistent in those early years and putting out books and videos, et cetera, that started gaining some traction in some of the scientists who were a little more open-minded and less dogmatic, okay, and started looking at things a little bit more from his perspective of things and gaining some traction, right? And lo and behold, sir, some discoveries are being made, right, that validate what Graham had been talking about all those years before, right? And that's what finally this validation coming forward now, the turn of the century moving forward here, is validating his earlier ideas and stuff. Now he's back in the game, pushing hard. Now he doesn't believe things exactly as we do as Christians, but he's unraveling the ancient history that's been buried by the powers of be because they don't want us to know our true history. If you've evolved from pond scum then what's the great plan of God in your life, right? You're just nothing but evolved pond scum. So what difference does it make? Are you, you're just a great ape, evolved from the great apes. So you can go out there and act like one or worse than one. What difference does it make? You're just an evolutionary product of evolution. Hit the reset button anytime, you know, today's environment. And it doesn't matter. Your life doesn't matter. Nothing matters in life. You don't matter. No lives matter, okay, according to the theory of evolution. That's kind of the end game. And so if there isn't a God that created everything and created you and me, right, then we're just left on our own. And here's Lucifer that comes to the scene and says, hey, I got all the answers for you. And here the aliens, the ancient aliens show up, you know, with all their answers, right? Eventually I'd be reading some material from Corey Good, G-O-O-D-E, who's been like 20 years or so into the secret space program, and now he's a whistleblower. And why he's been allowed to remain alive, blowing the whistle, I don't know, unless it's time for some of these revelations to be made public. So if you jump the gun, so to speak, on revealing some things ahead of their schedule, then you'll meet an untimely end, I'm sure. But if it's according to their schedule, when they want certain information released, then they'll let you go out on the limb, you know, and release it, kind of like the X-Files, okay? But I forget when it was, 93 or something, when the first X-Files came out. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but wow, you know, some of my friends alerted me to that, this new series coming out on TV, so I was quick to watch it, you know. And I couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe what the X-Files was bringing out. And then 9 seasons later, you know, especially the alien agenda, right, hitting all the nails on the head. It's like, how in the world are the powers that be allowing the X-Files to continue like this, revealing this information, unless it was time for this information to be revealed as fiction? As long as it's revealed in their time schedule and revealed as fiction, then you'll be allowed to live and tell about it. Now, Corey Good, of course, is not revealing it as fiction. It's the real McCoy, real deal stuff. So maybe God is protecting him. I have no idea. Okay, I haven't deep dived into him and his stuff, but I've kind of touched upon it. But I'll be reading some of his material in future shows. So we have an idea of these aliens and what they're going to be doing when they come here. But there's going to be, to sell the perfect lie, you have to have certain facts. Facts that are, you know, indisputable. Okay. And especially if science is denying, you know, a lot of scientists are going to be caught unawares also. Christian or otherwise, they're going to be caught unawares when the facts are finally revealed, especially those who are deep dived, hooked into the theory of evolution and that kind of approach, they're going to be shocked and amazed, you know, bamboozled when the facts are finally laid out, right? And what about Christians? Oh, God created everything 6,000 years ago. Sorry. Okay, it didn't happen that way. So if you got that wrong, and if you got the 7 days wrong, what else you got wrong about the Bible? And so the tendency will be to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because most Christians that claim to be Christians are not grounded in God's word. And let's face it, folks, in today's world, if you got a job, you're married to your job. If you want to keep it, you're married to your job, not to your spouse, not to Jesus. You're married to your job. You don't have time to deep dive into God's word and to ponder all these things. I guess you could say on the flip side of my life, I've had the good fortune, or maybe bad fortune, depending on how you look at it, is I've been unemployed more than I have been employed. Does that mean I'm a lazy butt? No, it's because I don't dance to the world's tune. That's why. Okay. So in my times I've been more unemployed, God has used that. I have a tendency, I can take some time off, but at a certain point I get bored and I got to be doing something. Okay. So oftentimes God then directs me into his word, or in today's environment with internet, like YouTube videos that you're normally not into the YouTube videos, but sometimes, you know, I get directed to some, and it's like, wow, you know, there's a lot of talented people out there putting stuff together. But the church at large has fallen away. But it's got, like, God is separating the sheep from the goats, and then eventually a sheep from the sheep. Remember Gideon, the story about Gideon. God had to have Gideon go up against the enemies of Israel there. And what was it? He put the summons forth throughout Israel for all available men to come forth to be in this army. And God then instructed Gideon, I'm paraphrasing, so if I get any details wrong, you can feel free to correct me, that God was looking for, you know, eventually you get thirsty, right? So you're going to go to the river and scoop up some water and get a drink, right? So he's looking for, said, told Gideon, look for the men that as they're scoop up and drink, that they're still looking around them versus those who put their face down into their hands and drink the water. He wants those who are observant of their surroundings, even during drinking of water. So it pared it down to what, 300 guys? Out of a whole bunch of guys, down to like 300 or something. Okay. Because God can do more with less. We tend to think we need tons of guys, right? Like today's military situation, we need millions of troops to go up against this or that, whatever, that army, that guy. God only needs a few faithful. A few faithful with his anointing can defeat an enemy of thousands to millions, okay? And we look at Abraham, same kind of deal. He had a lot of guys working for him, and those guys had families. It was like a whole city, a whole entourage of cities worth of people following after Abraham. It wasn't just Abraham and Sarah taken off from the land of the Chaldeans, you know, or it was a whole entourage he taken off with Uncle Abe. And so out of all his guys, he selected, what was it, 300 some guys to go up against the five most powerful and ruthless armies in that region. And kings of other nations and their armies trembled at the thought of these five kings and their ruthless armies. They trembled, but not Abraham with his small group of 300 plus guys had all the boldness and confidence in God Almighty to go up against the five most ruthless with their thousands of troops and beat them all hands down. Isn't that amazing, folks? We don't need millions of troops. We don't need tons of RPGs and aircraft and everything. We just need God. And that's what our USA military has not only forgotten, but like the Air Force, has given God the big double finger salute. Air Force, that's right. If anybody should be calling upon the Lord, it should be the Air Force, but they're giving him the big double finger salute. So this nation, the United States of America, is a serious trouble. But we give, there's some state governments like Oklahoma recently that are now mandating that the Bible be taught in the schools, in the public school systems. Of course, ACLU and this and that and the other thing are going to sue them and contest them, violation of separation of rights in the Constitution, in which there's nowhere mentioned in the Constitution at all. So they're lying through their teeth because most people are ignorant of the Constitution. But if you deep dive in the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, etc., you find out it's nowhere mentioned in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, or any of the amendments about this separation of powers as being a constitutional thing. In fact, in the early days of our republic, it was a sworn oath. Christianity was basically the law of the land. And it was Protestant Christianity, not Catholic Christianity, not Jewish Judaism. It was Protestant Christianity was the law of the land. So how far we have fallen as a nation to now where so much they want to get rid of everything, right? Even get rid of like our past, like the Civil War. I'm sorry, folks. It happened. As I mentioned before, there were slaves up north. So why wasn't the North going to war with the North as well as the South to free the Northern slaves? Depends on what side of the fence you are on, right? So it's okay for the North to have slaves, but not okay for the South to have slaves. So we're going to fight a war over it, and we're going to free the slaves from the South so they can come up north and be wage slaves, become wage slaves in the factories. So what's the difference if you're working on a plantation versus working 16, 20 hours a day, making nothing in a Northern factory? Okay, slavery is slavery. And it wasn't just the blacks being slaves. There was whites that were also enslaved. Even today, folks, even today, you will find little enclaves here and there in the nation where there's slaves going on. Slavery. White slaves, black slaves, red slaves, yellow slaves, pink polka dotted slaves. Slavery. All right, so we need to be wise as serpents. Why did Jesus say that? Be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Wise as serpents. He wasn't talking about, are you smarter than your garden snake? Okay, are you smarter than a rattler snake? He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the serpents. Wise as the serpents. He was talking about the serpent creatures, okay? Even going back to the Garden of Eden, the two-legged Nakash creature that tempted Eve. Are we wiser, as wise as them? Okay, if we're going to regain our dominion, don't you think we're going to have to be as wise, if not wiser, than the serpents? And we're not talking about the earth-based garden snakes, or the garter snakes, or the bull snakes, or the cobra snakes. We're talking about the serpent, a classification of being, fallen being, that weren't fallen in the remote times. They had been created perfect, as God had created everything and everyone perfect in the original creation, but they became fallen under Lucifer. Okay, are we wise, as wise, if not wiser, than the serpents that are running the world today? They just about got it all sewed up, okay? Now, the other thing with this Planet X is it's here, and they know. The caretakers, those who have been put in charge of this planet on the dark side, okay, they know that their time is coming up here. They know about Planet X, and they know who's on Planet X, and they know what is to be expected of them to have everything under control on this planet and presentable on a silver platter to those who are coming on Planet X. And if they don't have everything under control, their own heads are going to roll. Okay. Well, I got news for them. Whether the Anunnaki that are coming back are going to roll their heads, or when Jesus comes back, and a lot of heads are going to roll when Jesus comes back, right? And the armies of heaven, they're going to be rolling all over the place, right? So one way or the other, their heads are going to roll. So us humans we're just a rebellious lot, aren't we not? We're rebellious, and we don't want to conform to them. We don't even want to conform to that which is good for us. Okay? Like God's laws. Good for us. We don't want to conform to that either. It takes a renewal, a new birth process to get on board God's laws that are good for us. That which is good for us. So, some of that rebellion is good. Would you want to be 100% conformed to what Lucifer wants you to do? To lose your salvation completely and totally? Okay. Lucifer loves everybody on the planet. He loves everyone. and especially the most horrible sinners of us all. He loves them unconditionally. Everybody is welcome into his kingdom of love and Luciferian love and Luciferian laws and Luciferian light and Luciferian abundance. Everybody is welcome. Whatever perversion or kink you have, you are welcome in his kingdom. But that evil God that Christians worship, you're not welcome in his kingdom, but I welcome everybody in my kingdom, he says. Okay, so that should be a big giveaway right there. So these powers that be that run in the world, the shopkeepers, the plantation keepers, the global plantation, the prison planet, okay, the wardens of the prison planet, they know that their time is coming up. When they are going to be held accountable for what they've accomplished on this earth. Just like we as Christians, that God is going to hold us accountable for what we've, you know, the parable of the talents, for example. Okay. We're accountable for what God has blessed us with, what the blessings, the skills, abilities, okay, the calling is placed on our life. What have we done with it? Have we taken out the backyard and buried it because we were too fearful? Or have we even just put it in a bank to grow interest? Doing something. All right, so even the dark side is held accountable by their dark overlords. So when those dark overlords come back, that will have the history of this planet all spelled out, and the hidden history and all the hidden inventions and technologies and everything. And so there'll be a certain facts that, like the Vatican, for example, probably already knows a lot of this stuff, but they ain't talking, right? And it's not like that every priest, every bishop is allowed to go down to the depths of the Vatican Library and discover all this stuff, because somebody would have been talking about it. So you can imagine that the Vatican Library is in serious lockdown. Only those who are really trusted are allowed to learn about the true past. But for the most part, they want us to believe in evolution, that we're evolved from pond scum, etc. So we never come to an understanding of our true past and our true reason for being here. If you believe you're just evolved from pond scum, then what great reason has God brought you forth here on this planet other than evolved from pond scum? Does that sound like a great purpose in life? It sounds like, you know, so what does my life matter, right? But when we understand that Adam and Eve were injected into this fallen one third from the unfallen two thirds, you had to bring somebody who was not affected by this contagion from the outside to the inside. And the earth suits that became known as Adam and Eve, the earth suits from the dusty earth, were fashioned in such a way that they would be fully equipped unto every good work as per their mission statement from the Father. Why they were here, their purpose for being injected into this fallen one third, was to take dominion back from the forces of darkness.
This episode will be continued in part B.